Welcome to episode 16 of Edges and Sledges. You've got the One Tip, One Hand team. My name is Dhananjay Chuck. I'm a blogger based in London. Usually, today I'm in Delhi. My co-blogger is Varun Garg, based in Singapore, and Ashwin Garg, based in Toronto. We've got a big show coming up for you guys, so I'll just talk you through what we're going to talk about. First, we'll just wrap up the India-Ireland T20 series that is just finished in Ireland. We'll then preview the upcoming marquee series, the showcase, the showstopper of the summer, England versus India, three T20s, five test matches. It's going to be a great series, so we'll kind of deep dive into that series. And then we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Canada. There's a little global T20 tournament going on there, so Ashwin's pretty excited. And then we've got a surprise segment. So just so that you know, even we don't know what a surprise segment is. So Ashwin's going to take over at that stage. So we'll all find out what's going on. Okay, guys, starting off with the show. India recently played Ireland in two T20s. Ireland obviously coming off quite a big high. They'd done quite well in their first test match against Pakistan. They were doing quite well in T20s. They got test status and all of that. The two T20 games that we saw, they were basically, I hate to say it, but they were damn squibs on probably some of the best weather that you'd see in that part of the world. Beautiful sunny days, great kind of batting wickets and things, but Ireland never even got into the game. So maybe Varun, you can tell us a little bit about what you thought, how that series went, and give us your thoughts on that, please.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading a few comments about how India should enforce the follow-on, etc. After the Irish batting. But look, I think not much to say about the Ireland team, but let me point out a few key takeaways from the Indian side. I think firstly, first T20, Rohit Sharma and Dhawan just seem to have kind of this professional machine-like opening status going on, right? They come, they deliver. In the first T20, Rohit Sharma hit 97, Dhawan 74. It's almost like they picked up from last year, June, the ICC Champions Trophy. So in a way, as it leads up to our later segment talking about batting order, I mean, Rohit Sharma is kind of just cementing his place as an opener. And I think that's kind of fair. I think what was interesting to me is that they didn't play KL Rahul in the first game. And I was immensely disappointed with that because, you know, I think there's no doubt that KL Rahul deserves to play. In the second T20, he hit 70. And I mean, some of them were glorious shots of the spinners and kind of continued his own IPL form. I think so KL Rahul is another big takeaway for me. I think he needs to play. I think Suresh Raina is a bit of a mixed bag. And I am the Suresh Raina fan here. But on a more serious note, I mean, he came in, he was 8 off 2 balls, 10 in the first game, 69 in the second. My view is I think he's a T20 specialist. I think it's okay to play him in the T20, but I don't see too much value add, especially if you're going to have KL Rahul sitting out in place of Raina. Last, I want to call out Manish Pandey. Surprising to me that he played both games, but I think India's sticking it out. I think they believe in him, they want to see him, but I don't think he will play too much in the future. Dinesh Karthik batting below Hardik Pandya in the second game, also something that was kind of not explainable. And lastly, from a bowler's perspective, I think two key callouts, Yadav and Chahal just spinning their web around the Irish batsmen, continuing the good form we've seen from South Africa. And the bad news is Bumrah had a hand injury. So Bumrah will not be playing the first three T20s against England. So that kind of wraps up a little bit of a summary of the Indian side and the Indian perspective moving into the English series.
Yeah, and I think the big takeaway for me from that was actually the form that Hardik Pandya has shown. He's got 32 of 9 balls in the last game, and he even pulled out the helicopter in the first game. So he's done well last time in England. He got 80 odd in the Champions Trophy final before he was runner. So I think he's going to be, his form and his performance is going to be key for us going into the English season.
Sorry, DJ, I just want to jump in also. I actually read somewhere that said that Hardik Pandya today is twice the player he was when he was initially selected probably 3-4 years ago. So so I think props to him. I think he is doing well.
But you could say that about Yuvraj.
Yeah, you could.
Okay, Ashwin, maybe we'll start off with you. Moving into the England tour, obviously India has been touring England for quite a while. We've kind of sat through a number of tours, and I think the first thing I want to ask both of you is, what is your favorite kind of memory from India being in England? We've obviously won a Champions Trophy there. We won a few Test matches. We won some One Day series. We won some great tournaments. We won the World Cup there in 1983. But I mean, from when we've been watching cricket, what are your favorite memories in England? And I mean, I think our listeners would be interested in knowing that.
Yeah, so I can go first, and you know, being my elder brother, see, Varun will remember this really, really well. But 1996, we were in London for a family trip. I was 8 years old; he was 10 and a half, 11 years old. It was the summer, and we, you know, went for a really, I think it was our first ever live match, and it was day two and three of a Test match at Lord's. And England had batted first, put up 400 plus, if I remember. I think, 344. There were 344 all out. And India came on to bat, lost two pretty quick wickets. There were two for 59. And out walked these two new debutants. The first was, you know, at young, I think he was like early 20s, but now we remember his name being Sourav Ganguly. And the second was Rahul Dravid. And nobody knew who they were. Nobody knew what was happening. India didn't have a great track record. And these two guys built a massive partnership, with Ganguly hitting 131, Dravid hitting 95. Unfortunately, fell just 5 runs short of making a debut century. But an absolutely phenomenal memory, I think. And again, being there when you saw two of the legends of India's game make their Test debut, but not knowing that they would go on. I mean, lots of people make their debut and play 5-7 matches for their country and leave. And Dravid ended up his career being the fourth highest Test run scorer of all time. So that was a pretty special memory. I think, you know, I don't tend to have a very good memory generally, but that one, that day at Lord's, will stay with me forever.
Did you guys know that they'll be legends of Indian cricket when you saw them?
I would like to say we could have predicted it, but really, probably
hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah, and I remember our dad took us there. He was excited, but we had no idea what was going on, to be honest. Like, we were asking what is LBW, what is Edge, because we started watching cricket only in 1996. So, yeah, pretty special. Yeah, so my favorite memory of, let me start with England in India first, definitely has to be when Bhuvan scored a century and Kachra took a hat-trick. That is definitely the favorite memory of England in India. But moving on to India and England, it has to do with the same gentleman who scored 131 in 1996. I even have a prop here to kind of show a little bit of what I'm talking about. It is the NatWest Trophy final. I distinctly remember we were watching it on TV. India, I think, was 5 down. Kef and Yuvraj came into bat. Ashwin, mom, dad, me, and actually left for a movie because we were like, you know, in the 90s, it was quite, or early 2000s, it was quite clear that, you know, when India gets 5 down and Sachin gets out, go for a movie, do something, don't spoil your Sunday.
Especially when they came back 300 plus, right? That was not common.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we came back and suddenly saw Mohammad Kaif running for his life, Yuvraj Singh hitting like glorious boundaries. And what topped it off was really the start of the aggressiveness of the Indian team with that act by Sourav Ganguly in the Lord's dressing room. So, yeah, another memory at Lord's.
Yeah, so two memories at Lord's. So, on Ashwin's memory, Dravid actually fixed that kind of not having a 100 at Lord's in the 2011 tour. He got one one at Lord's, so yeah, that was a happy ending. Dada's, unfortunately, was not such a happy ending because he's the only, I believe, the only international captain not to have been offered NCC membership. Now, I haven't checked this fact, but this is what I've read somewhere.
I wonder why.
Yeah, so he's the only international captain or a long-serving international test captain, perhaps, who's not been offered membership of the MCC. But it, as you say, it heralded a new era in Indian cricket and the aggression and all of that. And that actually gets us to my favorite memory of India and England. And it's 2007, I think. And it's the Jelly Bean incident, where Zaheer Khan is batting, if you guys remember. And some guy is sitting at slip, and they said it was Kevin Peterson. He later denied it, like he denies most things. But he was apparently throwing jelly beans at Zach, and Zach moved it off once, came back, there was more jelly beans there. He just got pissed, and I think he didn't score any runs. He was just annoyed. He kind of walked to that guy, like showed his back to him and stuff. And then he came back and just bowled like a crazy guy. And we won that test match and we won that series. And that was like almost like a slow burn version of Venkatesh Prasad Amir Sohail. It was like a test match version of the same thing. It was just amazing.
Was this the same series where R.P. Singh swung the ball like nobody's business?
When Sunil Gavaskar said Singh has swung a song. That's when Gavaskar said that.
Yeah, exactly.
They were unplayable, man, at Trent Bridge. But it was R.P. Singh, Shrishant, I think, and Zaheer Khan that bowled us to victory. Dravid obviously was captain then. It was the days of Greg Chappell. But yeah, what a great, great memory. And I'm really hoping that we can replicate it, man, in the upcoming tour. So let's talk a little bit about that, guys. I think we're going to go through kind of four segments. So we'll talk about the top order, the middle order, the lower order being the bowlers and the spinners and our all-round option. So let's go with the top order. Who are our openers going to be, guys? So the options are Murali Vijay, Shikhar Dhawan, KL Rahul. Who are your two?
So should we? So guys, should we focus on the T20 and ODI first, and towards end July move into test mode?
Yeah, we can do that as well. I mean, if you want to talk about Rehan, why don't you go right away?
No, I don't want to talk about Rehan.
Okay, so no, I think let's talk about our T20 team. Yeah, our T20 team. I mean, it's difficult to talk about them because this last series was a bit weird, wasn't it? I mean, everybody kind of played the series. So I think Shikhar and Rohit are going to be the openers. I mean, it's difficult to dislodge
I agree. So I think from a T20 and ODI perspective, I don't know, Ashwin, your view, but I think it's going to be Rohit Sharma and Shikhar Dhawan. I don't think there's going to be any change. I think they did experiment with Rohit Sharma batting at 4 in the second T20, but bloody fellow that he is, got out on 0, which means that now he has to open.
Yeah, he's damn clever. He's bad at four. Mumbai Indians.
Yeah. So, Ashwin, do you agree with the openers?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the openers. I think they also had Kohli promoted himself once. I think, honestly, the challenge is going to be, having played 2 matches against Ireland, it was not a good representation. To me, England right now, I feel completely differently about their test team, which we'll talk in July, but their ODI, their limited oversight, is probably the best in the world.
It's pretty insane.
And so I think experimenting with Kohli up at the top of the order, Rohit at 4, it's not the side to do it against. They're going to go with Shikhar and Rohit. And I mean, even in the Champions Trophy, we watched 3 games live, and every single match, they had a phenomenal opening partnership. So I think it's
Shikhar. But guys, do you think they're too slow? I don't think there's enough power up there, to be honest. I mean, yeah, we scored 210, 220 against Ireland, but I mean, you're going to need 220 on a regular basis against that England lineup with Hales, Roy, Root, Butler, Stokes. I mean, they just keep Morgan, they just keep coming, and Moeen Ali has the fastest one day 100. I mean, it doesn't stop. How many were we going to need to like save the T20 series? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. But I think that India doesn't have an alternative, right? We've said on this show before multiple times, Rohit's probably India's biggest six-hitter. Maybe Rahul is trying to stake a claim for that. I think Rahul is going to get a spot on the side. I will be visibly upset if Rahul and Karthik don't play. In T20s, they are arguably India's 2 best batsmen right now, right? And that could change in 6 months, but today, so we'll talk lower order later, but I think Rohit and Shikhar are the best we have. And I think on his day, Rohit can bat big and give a good challenge to the likes of Roy and Hales.
But I think they need to go quickly. They start slow, I think. That's troubling.
Yeah, I think they go in ODI mode, and in ODI mode, they've cracked it. But in T20 mode, I have a feeling Shikhar Dhawan needs to go from the first ball. There's enough batting for 20 overs. I think the message has to be 4 for 0 or 0 for 1 out. That has to be the first couple of balls.
The Biru style.
Yeah, absolutely.
Biru's also in England, by the way. I saw him on the
really?
Recently. Yeah, he's like chilling out on the top of a bus somewhere, just saying.
Is he having it small... open? It's open food.
He was like how he came in 2007 and they only, I don't know, for some reason, he's like, everybody was tall. Only small guy was Parthiv Patel. That is what Viru was saying. That is the
chat. You've seen the thing, right, of his favorite food in England and all?
No.
What is this?
No, you haven't seen it? Also, he asked, what's your favorite food in England? And he starts with saying, you know, Ethiopian food is the best. They've got this big thali and it's like got vegetarian dishes inside and all. And it's mind-blowing. Ethiopian.
Awesome. So coming back, Shikhar Dhawan, Rohit Sharma, 1 and 2. 3, obviously, King Kohli. Who's going to move him from there? Although I think his T20 average is just dropped below 50 after 2 failures.
Unacceptable, man.
He's in bad form. I mean, he can't play in that area, man. Like, he just can't. England, Ireland, chance in him. So that's number 3, King Kohli. Jokes apart, I mean, the guy's class. 4, for me, it's KL Rahul. Has to be KL
Rahul. KL Rahul.
Yeah, but who are the other contenders for that spot?
Manish Pandey.
You have Manish Pandey and Suresh Raina, right? Because if Raina's not batting at 3, he would bat at 4.
No, but I think he goes. I think Rahul gets 4, Karthik at 5. for me.
Yeah, so I agree. I think there's a different, like, I want to see Rahul at 4, Kartik at 5. I think what will happen in the T20s is that Raina will bat at 4, and either Kartik or Rahul will play at 5. But ODIs, I think, mark my word, Rahul will play 4. And Rahul has to own that number 4 spot. Because remember, in the ODIs, you're solving for India being 15 for 3 in a one-odd game. And that Rahul can solve for. So I'm just giving a realistic picture. I actually think Rahul may not play the T20s, which I'll be very upset about. And Raina might. But Rahul has to own number 4.
But between, say Raina plays, between Rahul and Kartik, wouldn't you still go for Rahul? I mean, Kartik, yes, he's played amazingly. But I mean, Rahul is an all-round batsman. He scores runs everywhere.
I mean, I would like him to play because I have not seen him play at number 4 and 5. So I would like him to play just from the perspective of, let's see if he can do it. I mean, he is a new ball batsman.
Do you think Kohli will drop Dhoni?
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you guys. Because on paper, could you not theoretically have Kohli at 3, like we said, Rahul 4, Raina 5, Kartik 6, and Pandya 7. You got your keeper, you got your top 7. I'm not saying it'll happen.
You can't say this. You can't say this out loud, guys.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm an MSD fan, man. I mean, I love the guy, but every player at some point outlasts the utility. Although, to be fair, Dhoni had a great IPL. He's had a kind of second emergence.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Actually Raina, I'm not sure Raina merits a spot in that lineup.
He doesn't.
But
he made 69 in the
second Ireland T20. And that's going to be what his thing is.
But I think he's shaky.
Yeah, but I mean, look at everybody else in IPL. Rahul had a great IPL.
I was just going to say, I think if Raina was bowling, there is no doubt in my mind that he should play. If Raina is bowling. If you're not bowling Raina, just get rid of him now. It's a pointless kind of proposition to continue this. There is a gap. That gap has been identified for the day one of the bowlers has an off day and you need 3 to 4 overs. If Raina's not going to cover those 3 to 4 overs consistently over the next 12 months, stop playing him. Then believe in your 5 bowlers and get rid of him.
So, I think, Raina will play, I think. Dhoni will play. I think Kartik is probably going to miss that one. Although he had a great IPL as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a fantastic IPL and he scored loads of runs. But just being the kind of profile that he keeps, and he's a low profile character. He isn't like outspoken or dashing or whatever. So, I think he's just going to miss out because of that. Although he was the one that, in the last T20 that India played, he's the one who took us home.
And Kohli said also that I've got a headache. I've got a headache now because of this batting order. Anyone gets a chance and they're performing. So, yes, good situation to be in. Raina should not play. Kartik and Rahul need to play. Own those slots, even if it's in a T20, even if it's in a longer format. The reality is the way the top three are batting. Rahul and Kartik need to get ready to play only 15, 16 overs. That is the reality. Yes, in that one-off game where India is 19 for 3, yeah, you got to come in and you're playing at a certain level, right? You're playing international cricket. So, you need to be ready for all scenarios. But you need to play the last 15 overs because that is the gap that has been identified. And even in South Africa, I think we were 200 plus in 34 overs and we were getting 280 in 50 overs. That's unacceptable.
Totally agree. I mean, that if Raina doesn't play, that's almost our one-day lineup as well, I'd say.
Exactly.
Our top one-day lineup. Okay, so I think we worked our way down to 6 with MS Dhoni. He plays just for the legend status and the experience that he brings. And his great form in the IPL. I mean, to be fair, the man has been in excellent form. And he's still fit. He's still doing his thing. He's excellent behind the wicket. So, I think he takes number 6. Number 7, Pandya. Guys, let's talk a little bit about Pandya. Personally, I think his batting has come on leaps and bounds. I think his bowling has left a little bit to be desired. Is he someone who can give you 4 overs consistently in a T20 game and 10 overs in a one-day game? Or do you think we're still lacking that kind of bowling all-rounder? Because he's turning out more to be a batting all-rounder for me, you know?
So, if I can jump in with just some stats to start us off. In T20i, international. So, this is, you know, small data set, but fine. His bowling average is, or his bowling economy rate is under 8, which is pretty good. He has picked up, you know, 27 wickets in 31 innings. So it's average. It's not great. Yeah, but an economy rate of under 8 and an average of about 25. So he picks up a wicket for every 25 runs he gets. His batting average is 14. Okay.
Yeah.
So he strikes at almost 150. He's never scored a T20 international 50. He's never scored a T20 100. So I actually think in the T20 side, he's probably in there as a bowling all-rounder because he doesn't get to bat all that often. He has pretty consistently bowled, to bowl four overs at an economy rate under eight as the fifth bowler is pretty good. And really, when he's supporting Kuldeep and Chahal. So I think it's a different discussion to ask about Hardik Pandya, the bowler, in T20s and ODIs. I think in T20s, I'm pretty happy with him in that number seven slot, and I think he's reliable enough for those four overs.
And I agree with Ashwin Bijay. I was actually going to say, to me, Hardik Pandya is a bowling all-rounder. I think his bowling has improved so much over the last 12 months because he's realized that that's his only kind of mainstay to stick in this team. Not to mention his brother's probably on the heels for that number seven slot. And I kind of would have liked to see him being given a chance too. But to
he's
me, Hardik Pandya is a... Yeah, he's with India in England. But I would actually, it comes down to this. Okay, I'm going to try to simplify this in one statement. I think if winning a match comes down to Hardik Pandya's batting, I think it's going to be tough, right? So I think Hardik Pandya is the perfect guy to come in and hit probably 20 of eight balls in a first inning setup. I think he can bat, but I think he is going to bowl 10 overs. He's going to have to bowl 10 overs. And Kohli and Dhoni need to figure out when he's going to bowl. You want to finish him up front, do that. But I think it's the timing of his bowling that's going to make a very big difference.
So guys, really interesting thoughts. I mean, for me, Pandya has just been batting really well and his bowling is just what it is. And maybe we'll come on a little. What do you think about his one-day bowling effort? Is he going to give you 10 overs regularly?
There's no choice.
I think, I can just tell you quickly, his ODI economy rate is 5.4. So in an ODI, not great. His average is a lot higher than T20.
It's not bad, but it's not great.
It's 37. Yeah. Also never picked up four wickets or five wickets. In an ODI, his best figures are 3 for 31. But I think there's no choice. And I think, I have a lot of respect for the choice that Kohli, Shastri and the board have made to say, look, we will not build a side with seven bowling options. Maybe six would be good, but they're saying we're going to go with, we back our four lead bowlers and we're going to back Pandya and get him to bowl turnover. So there's no choice.
Interesting.
For a while, they played Jadhav, right? Just because he gave that bowling option, but it's not, I don't think it's really what the slinging option.
Your arm didn't actually come into the picture at all. It was underneath the camera. Sorry, we got distracted there a little bit with Varun copying Kedar Jadhav's Malinga-like action. Moving on. So now you've got the two spinners, Kuldeep and Chahal. And I mean, they have been doing fantastically. So Ashwin, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you think about how these guys are going. And are they going to be the key against England? Because England historically haven't played wrist spin very well, as a guy called Shane Warne will tell you.
Yeah, I was messaging you guys about this earlier this week. I think they are the difference makers, right? It is unbelievable. Some people will argue they've played against poorer oppositions. They've got lots of padding of statistics, etc. I think they're just unbelievable. And it's not just the numbers, right? If you watch some of the highlights of the Ireland series, you'll see some of those deliveries that Yadav was able to float in, and just exceptional. And for those who are watching the FIFA World Cup, Uruguay made it through not on the back of one big player, but on the back of that partnership with their two strikers. So it is not about, Cavani and Suarez. It is not about the one bowler. In T20, if you can have a partnership of two spinners, that's what's really key. So, I think I'm personally really, really looking forward to that. On England's side, that's what they've lacked as well. And Ali and Rashid are providing it for them. I think it's a different tier of spinners. But for England, who've struggled to find a good spinner, having two limited over spinners, they've got that too. But to me, what's really key is that partnership. And I think Yadav and Chahal have figured it out. You also see it when one of them gets a wicket, the other's almost just as excited. And that's part of the partnership, teamwork and camaraderie. So I'm really excited to see them. The fact that we aren't even talking about, hey, should Ashwin or Jadeja be our lead spinner, just shows you how much they stepped in and embraced those roles.
So I just have 2 points for you there. One, they're not as excited as Raina, who's still in there.
Nobody will ever be as excited as Raina. Let's say
he's always in there for. And two, I mean, are these guys going to play on test matches eventually? Because I mean, Ashwin and Jadeja haven't done great in England. Kohli is that kind of attacking captain who might play two spinners on a turning kind of seeming wicket?
Yeah, I think he will, and I think Kuldeep Yadav will play. I just want to say, I think the partnership is great. I agree. I think Kuldeep Yadav is raw talent, man. I really think there's a lot of future for him. I think the difference between the two is Kuldeep Yadav is pure raw talent, and Chahal is really hardworking, right? Chahal wants to be given advice from Dhoni on every ball. Which way should I go? What is the batsman thinking? So I think that's the difference between the two, and it's a pretty good combination.
If I can just jump in and say one of the reasons Ashwin and Jadeja still have their test spots is, and this is giving you a little bit of a hint in our news segment, but Ashwin has scored more test runs than the likes of Yuvraj Singh, Wasim Jaffer, Ajinkya Rahane, Dinesh Karthik, Karun Nair. So some real big batsmen. Ashwin is, he's played a few more tests, but he's got more runs.
Ajinkya Rahane.
Sorry, this is against England. This is just against England.
But Rahane's got a few runs.
Yeah, but I mean, the point being, Rahane's batted 15 times against England. Ashwin's batted 17 times against England. So there's not that much of a difference in the number of times they've batted, but Ashwin's got significantly more runs against England. So until they start messing up, really, I don't see them losing their spots in the test side.
Okay. So spinners, Kuldeep and Chahal. Quickly, guys, moving on to the fast bowlers. Bhuvneshwar Kumar, I think, just speaks for himself. Beautiful bowler. He's done really well in England before. Good with the bat, although he won't be needed in the T20s. Excellent at the death. Do you guys have anything to add to that?
No, I think he's become the senior bowler in the last 1 or 2 years. So, yeah, great.
Okay, so that takes care of spots until 10. And that leaves one spot. No, is that one spot?
Yeah.
Who's going to take that? But Bumrah's injured. Bumrah's hurt his finger going for the return catch against Ireland. So he's out for the T20s. He'll be back for the one days. Who's taking his spot? Is it going to be Umesh Yadav or Siddharth Kaul?
I'm going with Umesh Yadav. I think I've always supported him. I love that India's had one bowler that we're grooming just for raw pace. The amount of bounce he's getting on the wickets. I think they're going to start with him. But I think to me, that's going to be the flex spot. You have one or two weak games, and I mean that spot is Bumrah's, no question. So when he's back, he's back. But they're going to start with Yadav and see if they can make it work for all the T20s.
Varun?
Yeah, same. I think Umesh Yadav, I think the RCB factor helps Umesh Yadav as well. So I think Umesh Yadav will play.
Yeah, and I think against a lineup like England, the lack of experience would count against Siddharth Kaul, although he did decently in his first game. Plus, if Yadav wears his ponytail, he takes wickets, right, Ashwin? So.
Exactly. We'll make sure he gets
his ponytail in. So, guys, last 5 minutes of the show, Ashwin's got a bit of a surprise for us. So, let's go with the new segment that Ashwin's going to do.
Yeah, so let's see how this works out. I'm going to put you guys on the spot a little bit. But this is not my unique idea. I've heard this on a variety of different sports podcasts, including a couple other cricket ones. But what we're going to do is I'm going to try out a little bit of a quiz format. So, what I have in front of me in prep for the India-England Limited Over Series, I have the top 10 run scorers from India and the top 10 run scorers from England in India-England series. Now, to make it easier for you guys, I've done since January 1st, 2000. So it doesn't include the 80s and 90s. Okay. So since January 1st, 2000, in ODIs, I need you guys to start going one at a time, listing off who you think are in the India's top 10 and England's top 10 run scorers. The first few will be easy, and it's going to be a strikes model. So I'm going to say, I was thinking three strikes and you lose, but maybe five. So we'll keep going, and I'll tell you if you're right, and if you're wrong, you get a strike. But let's start maybe with DJ. You got to list any one of the top 10 English and top 10 Indian run
scorers. Sachin Tendulkar.
Sachin Tendulkar, number four on India. Number four on India's list, yeah. Not the top, yeah.
Virat Kohli.
Kohli is number six. Yeah, DJ.
Dada, dude. He's got to be right up there.
Dada's number eight. So you're getting lower to that list. Ooh. By the way, I've got top 10 from each side, but I liked number 11 in each side. So if you give number 11, I'll give you a bonus point. Varun, let's go.
So let's finish in Rahul Dravid for sure.
Rahul Dravid is number seven. But, well, number seven on the list of run scorers. Yeah.
Okay.
DJ. Dude.
2000 to 2006.
Yuvraj
Singh, number one, 1523 runs from 37 matches.
MS Dhoni.
MS Dhoni, number two. You guys are going India first. This is easy for you. Wait till we get to England. MS Dhoni, number two, 1400 runs. DJ.
Suresh Raina,
number three, 1160 runs. He's got more runs against England than Tendulkar, Kohli, Dravid, and Ganguly, all the others you've mentioned. Varun?
So how many are left now?
We've got seven of the top 10 done from India, and zero of the Brits.
No, Virender Sehwag.
Virender Sehwag, number five, 1,000 runs, 1,008 runs. Yeah. So we now have the top eight done for India. None of the Brits, and number 9, 10, and 11 missing for India. DJ, you don't have to get this much time, guys.
Dinesh Karthik
is not on the list. He is not even in the top 15. So strike one for DJ. Varun?
Yes.
Remember, you have 10 English guys. You have 10 English guys. Start listing English names.
He's lost it. He's out.
Okay.
Mohammad Kaif
is not in the top 10. He was number 12. One strike each, bro. DJ, back
go!
To you.
I got one.
Wait, it's not your
one.
Turn. Hold. Number 12. Not your. Yeah, Kaif is 12. Okay. So he gets the strike. DJ, back to you. Each on one strike.
Owen Morgan.
Okay, Owen Morgan is 11 for England. So I'm going to give that to you because he's the highest run scorer, but he's 11th on England. So, okay, Varun, back to you.
Gautam Gambhir,
number 9. Yeah, number 9 with 730.
This is getting really hard, actually.
Nicely done. DJ?
England killing kyon, kaun khelta hai yaar? I don't even think of Alex Stewart.
Alex Stewart is not on the list. So that's strike number 2.
I don't even remember who plays for them.
Alex Stewart.
Alistair Cook.
Wait. I got a mark. Hold on. DJ's on 2 strikes. Alistair Cook is number 4 for England. Yeah. So Varun's still on 1 strike. DJ's got 2.
This is pretty filthy.
Yeah, so you're missing numbers 10 and 11 for
faster,
India.
Faster.
DJ, quick.
Kevin Peterson,
number 2 for England.
For
yeah.
Sure. For
Varun,
sure.
Back to you.
Strauss
is number 10. Well done. Good save.
Oh, what a save.
Only 387 runs against India. Yeah. Joe Root is number 8. Yeah. Varun, back to you.
Ian Bell,
most prolific run scorer. 1,163 runs against India. Number 1 on
the maximum runs.
Number against India. Yeah.
Oh, against
India. This is only India versus England, guys. We're prepping for the India-England series. Okay. So let's go. You guys have 5 of the top 10. 6 of the top 11 Brits. You're still missing 2 Indians, numbers 10 and 11. 11 I picked just because it's a fun one. DJ,
you got
quick,
Dhoni, right?
5. Yeah, England, India's, you got the 9. DJ, 5-second countdown.
I don't even know who bats anymore for England, man. Alex Hales.
Okay, none of them is still playing, if that helps you.
Graham Thorpe.
No, 2000 onwards. Come on. Okay.
Nasir Hussain, dude.
No, he was number 12, though. That was close. So DJ's on 3 strikes.
Strike 3!
No, wait. I gave you guys 5 strikes. 5 strikes, because it's getting harder.
Okay, Varun,
back
come on.
VVS Lakshman.
In ODIs? Come on. Strike 2.
Shit.
Okay, DJ, I'll give you guys one more shot each, then I'll start giving some hints.
You need to give us a hint.
Okay, 2 guys on the English list have names that sound more like the other list.
Ravi Bopara
is number 7 on the list. Yeah,
got it.
There's one more. Varun, back to you. I mean, you can give anyone, but
one more. Moeen Ali.
No, he's also close, but not. He's incidentally Moeen is number 10 on the test match list. But we'll come back.
Three strikes for you, Varun. Just to be clear.
DJ, one of the guys on the India list is a batsman we've talked a lot about on this show, and we're very, very conflicted about his place on the side. Currently, number 10 on India.
Manish Pandey.
No, not exactly.
He's
not quite
scored any runs against it, but we are pretty conflicted about his place.
There's one more, man. One of my personal favorites, and I can't support him right now because he's had a bad run. Varun.
Jonathan Trott
is not on there.
Oh, dude, you're
so you guys are 4 strikes each. All right, DJ. When two kids say something at the same time, then
jinx. Rahan.
There you go. Rahan is number 10.
And the
hey, you're helping him. You haven't helped him.
I'm giving you hint. Okay, your hint for number 11 for India. I'm giving it to you now. I love his batting because of his incredible triple in the domestic season.
Jadeja
is number Jadeja's number 11. So you guys have wrapped up the India list. DJ, as we get back to England, one of them is England's most prolific all-rounder.
Stuart Broad.
Is that who comes to your mind? Do you think I'm prolific? That's fine.
No, he said it.
He cheated. He said it quickly, although that was the strike. But in the spirit of the first, this is being
Stuart
first.
Stuart Broad is a pretty good bowler.
Not ODI run scorers, but Andrew Flintoff was on there.
Yeah.
Okay, we are missing 3 names on the English list. I feel like you guys should get 1. Let's see.
Okay, let's have a buzzer round. We're both on 4 strikes.
Okay.
Let's just the last one, and then you can give us the last 2, and we can feel back.
Okay, one guess each. Okay, I gave you one hint already. He's got a South Asian sounding name. Second hint. He's got a South Asian sounding name that shares with one guy you both went to school with.
Oh my God! Who knows this?
Come on. Okay, come on. If I say. Think of a famous African American musician. This will be your hint, which nobody on our no listeners will get, but maybe you guys
Bob
should get it.
Bob Marley,
Usher,
Lionel Richie,
Rihanna,
anybody?
Oisha.
Ovesh Shah. Oh, there it is. DJ takes the game. I was giving you too many hints. So the first official winner of the Edges and Sledges quiz is our friend DJ, despite the fact that he cheated and sent Flint off after guessing Broad.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to you.
No, I counted that as my fourth strike.
No.
I counted that as my fourth strike, dude. I'm the legend.
Okay.
Remember that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
I get the title of legend for this week.
Maybe we call this one a tie.
I was about to say Samit Patel when you said his name sounds Indian.
Yeah, that. I even said he went to school to the guy who did this. Maybe if Ovais listens to this show, he'll appreciate the shout out. Guys, your last two were from the English list. Number three was Paul Collingwood, which I feel like you should have got. And number five, which is a little bit harder, was Marcus Trescothick. But he's not a player we've talked about.
Oh, I said Trescothick.
Oh, did you?
Oh, you did it.
Okay, fine.
You can't say two in each guess.
And then I can be proved wrong.
So that's our...
I thought it.
So this was ODIs. I think the test list is a little more fun. So maybe we'll do something similar when we get to preview the India test.
Yeah.
But nicely done, guys. Yeah. You really shouldn't have got four strikes. I'm pretty disappointed. But that's okay. One of you can do
that. That is really...
Cool. DJ, back to you. Nice. That's the end of the segment.
Okay, guys. A very quick question from one of our listeners came in last week. Shreem sent in a question saying, what is the optimum size we think for a World Cup, given that FIFA is increasing its World Cup? I mean, I think we may have addressed this before, Ashwin. I don't know whether you had any particular thoughts on this. Should we have a larger World Cup or a smaller one? I mean, we're going to 10 teams, right, in 2019. And none of us have got tickets to any of those games, so that's great as well. Anyway, can you give Shrey maybe an answer to his question?
I can go first. I think I've said this on the show before. I think it needs to be a larger World Cup, but only slightly larger. Right? I think for FIFA, going to 48 teams is going to take away the excitement of the finale, of the finals. I think cricket is still in an expansion phase. It needs to grow the game. It needs to bring more teams into the World Cup. But I don't think it needs to become a 2024 team World Cup because the quality will suffer. So maybe call it 12 to 16 teams. And I think we need to do a better job of highlighting the World Cup qualifiers, right? Some of the quality of these games with Ireland, etc., have been good. No, maybe not this last India one, but I think we need to make the World Cup qualifiers a bigger, more exciting deal, and then have a couple of extra teams in the World Cup.
But I don't know, a very quick word with you. I completely agree with Ashwin, so maybe your thoughts.
Yeah, so I have a slightly different view. What I would say is, I think this time the World Cup format is different. All 10 teams are going to play each other. So I want to see this World Cup next year first before making a comment. I think quality of cricket will be high. I think every team playing every team is superb, right? From a viewer's perspective, you're seeing 10 high-quality teams. You've seen what happened with Afghanistan in the Test match. You've seen what happened with Ireland in T20. I'm not saying I don't promote the game of cricket, but I think there's a place for it. And World Cup is kind of a sacred tournament, if you would. So I kind of want to see how the next one goes first.
Interesting. So two different views there. One with it should remain a premium tournament, and one with it should become a little larger with a couple more teams going. So guys, that's a wrap from us for this week. Thank you very much for listening, tuning in, and for sending your questions in. We've had great fun presenting it. Do go to Facebook and watch the show or YouTube. Get your podcast from wherever you get your podcast: iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, we're almost everywhere. So do listen in. Come back next week. We'll be here again just talking about this. I'm actually going to watch the T20 on Friday at Cardiff. Nice. So I'll be there for the second one. So I'll try and go live from there a little bit. But yeah, guys, thank you very much for supporting us. We're 16 episodes in. And as long as you keep listening, we'll keep doing the show. So thank you very much. See you next week.